All right, as I mentioned before, we are in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. In our studies on Sunday evenings, we have been looking at some study materials that we can study with someone for an evangelistic Bible study. And we've been using, I like to use Back to the Bible. It's a method that I think is sound and it's good and it's simple and easy to use. So the next lesson that we're going to be talking about is the church. So there are three main topics for each of the three lessons: authority, the church, and salvation. So why put the church in this lesson at all, in these series of lessons at all? Why put it in front of talking about salvation? Well, really, there are several, I think, really great reasons for that. Of course, we don't have time for all of them. Many of them are practical reasons, and you might can think of some off the top of your head if you're at all familiar with that. But right now, I'm going to look at a biblical reason. And the biblical reason we can find is in Acts 8. Philip the evangelist was one of those who fled from Jerusalem after Stephen was killed. He was out preaching the word, as we can see in Acts 8:4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And then it talks about Philip. And of course, he was among those who went about everywhere. And that word of the Lord in Acts 8:25 that Peter and John were preaching, I don't think it was a different word of the Lord than what Philip was preaching. But so we can see right there that that is the gospel. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So that same gospel, that word of the Lord that they are talking about, is what we see that they're doing, that Philip is doing and will be doing to the Samaritans a little later on. In Acts 8:5, we see that then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So he preached Christ to these people. Now we know in Acts 8:35, whenever we go to the Ethiopian eunuch to show that baptism is part of salvation, is part of preaching Jesus, we can see in Acts 8:35 that when Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to them. I don't think preaching Jesus is different than preaching Christ, do you? And so these are the same kinds of things that we're going to be looking at. And then in Acts 8:36, he says, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? So we show this to say that baptism is part of preaching Jesus. And of course, it's part of preaching Christ as well. And we'll see that here in Acts 8, 4, 5, and then later on as we'll see. So Philip, he preached to the Samaritans, and they believed him. But what did he preach? Let's look at verse 12, if I can speak this evening. Let's look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Well, first off, he preached Christ. We understand that from Acts 8:5, right? He preached Christ to them. So what does it mean to preach Christ? Well, included in that, the inspired evangelist Philip preached to them the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, and obviously baptism, because that is the response that they gave. So let's start with the name of Jesus Christ here. We see that Peter taught that salvation can be found in no other name under heaven than under the name of Jesus. We see that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. You see, this is a figure of speech. It's not literally the name of Jesus in which salvation can be found, but it is the whole package deal referring to Jesus. It's not just his name. His name is magnificent and wonderful, but it is more than just that. Salvation can be found in his name, by his authority, by doing what he has asked us to do. So this is concerning his authority. And that is the first lesson in Back to the Bible about the authority of Christ and about which testament that we're under. All authority, if you recall, has been given to Christ. And we are to be baptized in his name, Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. We're also to do everything in word or deed in his name, Colossians 3:17. Next, we're going to look at the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a phrase that can be found or that can refer to heaven, or it can refer to the church. Matthew records Jesus equating the two in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, where the church, where Jesus says he will build his church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And then he said he would give Peter the keys to the kingdom, or give at least the apostles the keys to the kingdom. And that kingdom and the church are equated in there. Those are the same things. Many times Jesus used parables to describe the kingdom of God, or often called the kingdom of heaven, typically in Matthew's account. So it can refer to the church, and I believe that is the most likely thing that is mentioned here, that the kingdom of God in Acts 8:12 is referring to the church. And that's the second lesson in Back to the Bible, talking about the church, the oneness of the church, who purchased the church with his blood. What is the proper worship for God's people? And that's what we'll talk about in the coming weeks in that particular lesson. While it doesn't say specifically what was taught on the topic of the kingdom of God in Acts 8:12, it is left to our judgment what is most expedient for our time. Recall, however, that Jesus taught the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, and he focused on the idea of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That was needed among the Samaritans because of some of their erroneous ideas concerning worship. We worship on this mountain, if you recall in John 4. Mount Gerizim is where they said, this is where we're supposed to worship. No, you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem, at least at that time. But Jesus said that there will come a day when all those will worship in spirit and in truth. It is also important for us today concerning modern erroneous ideas on worship. Different heresies, same playbook, right? There are different false teachings out there, but we still have the same book, the same revelation. And as long as we can go by that, we can't go wrong. Then we see in Acts 8:12 that men and women were baptized. As with the eunuch, it is clear that baptism is the immediate result in obeying the preaching about Jesus. They had done what was required of them for salvation. We see that in Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then this is what's taught in the third study. They had to be taught these things. They had to be taught about baptism, and that's what the third study is about. Salvation, sin, the God's justice, and what we can do to take advantage of God's love and grace. They were baptized into Christ's death and raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:3-4. Their sins were washed away, Acts 22:16. They had the right to go on their way rejoicing, as the eunuch did later in this chapter in verses 38 and 39. They were added at that point to the Lord's church, Acts 2:47, having been baptized into that one body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13. I hope you're writing all these down. These are really good. This is the model that Bobby Bates used to write the Back to the Bible lessons. Name, authority; kingdom, church; baptism, salvation. Other evangelistic study methods also utilize a similar pattern. If you're familiar with Open Bible Study, they do things in a little bit of a different order. The Jewel Miller film strips also talk about these things. I can't remember exactly what order, but I know that they talk about these things. Then Search for Truth also talks about these things as well. They might differ in order or a different way of approaching the issue, but they do hit all these key points. So now the question is, do you need to be added to his church this evening? I believe everyone here who is accountable has done that already. But if you're listening through some other medium and need to make that decision, we stand ready. Just let us know in some way, through the website, through the email, however you need to do that. Do you need to make things right with God, as Simon the sorcerer had to do later on? We see in Acts 8:22 that he messed up. Well, a little bit earlier than that, he messed up. But in Acts 8:22, we see how Peter told him how to get right with him. repent and pray God that these that your sins will be forgiven you. And then he said, I pray that none of these things will befall me. So now we ask you to get right with God today. I pray that if you are not right with him, that you make that commitment and do so together as we stand and as we sing.